Seated. Good morning. And welcome. Whether you're here online or else you're here in person, we just invite you to join in praising God today. It's all about Him. It's all about Him, and we owe so much to Him. The drive in this morning, sunshine just starting to burn out the fog and the white frost on the trees. It was beautiful out there, huh? And I was just thanking God for all, you know, the wildlife and the water and the trees and everything. It's beautiful. We don't live on a barren planet, and we have a God who loves us. I mean, there's so many positives out there. So don't dwell in the negatives, folks. Let's just look at the positives. And definitely don't dwell in fear. Let's dwell in love. That's what we're going to learn about today. So let's find out more about that in our readings.
The first reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Second reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verses 4 through 14. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 through 31. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. You know, leave for children's church. Any children here today? Feel free to do so at this time. Lord, we thank you for your word, how you communicate to us, Lord, how you bless us, how you let us know that you're there for us. Let this word speak to us today in a very real way. Speak to our very spirits, that we may be changed to be more like you. Amen. Many times, as we've been going through 1 John, I'll take five to seven verses or something like that, that all have the same theme, and then use that as the main point of the message. This time it was just one verse. That was it. I read this one, and boom, that was it. There's so much in just one verse when you unpack it. So 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. All right, so there is no fear in love. No fear in love. They're like opposites, polar opposites, fear on one side, love on the other. Love, of course, is from God, and fear is from the enemy. Our God does not deal in fear. He does not deal in fear, does not operate in fear. He's love, right? God is love, it tells us. This fear is from the enemy. It's from the other side. It's a tool of the enemy, a very effective tool. He's got tools like fear, guilt, and shame. Those are three of his big ones, fear, guilt, and shame. And if he can plant that inside a person, unfortunately, we can take the ball and run with it. We can give it energy. We can fuel it while he's free to just go off and cause mischief somewhere else. And so it is with fear. Fear can be used to control. It's very effective for that. We see that throughout history. When you have a dictator ruling a nation or something like that, it's done out of fear. They lay down the law, and if you disobey, that's it. You're imprisoned or you're killed. Who knows what? Fear, another, as I was thinking about it too, I was thinking about if you're raising a puppy or a horse or something like that, you can train it out of fear. Absolutely, you can say, sit, and it'll cower and sit, you know. Or else you can teach it in a good way, out of love, to, hey, sit. And it will do so with its tail wagging. Okay, what next, what next, what next, right? And how much better when they're not controlled by fear, when they're not operating out of fear. They're willingly giving themselves to you. Our God is the same way. He could rule by fear. He has all power. He could tell us, do this, do that, or else. But no, we serve him willingly out of love. And how much better is that? So raising dogs, raising horses, and unfortunately sometimes kids have been raised that way too in fear. And that is really sad. When a kid has been raised in fear and just afraid of screwing up because they know what's coming if they do. How much better to be raised in love. Like we said, fear can be used to control, okay? It can control individuals. Zach Williams, a Christian songwriter and singer, great stuff. One of his songs is Fear is a Liar. And if you just listen to the first couple stanzas of lyrics here, and this is fear speaking to someone, okay? Someone that's vulnerable, someone maybe that's been beat down. And I've shared this with people in the past, a number of people that, you know, were facing some troubles. So when it says he here, it's talking about fear. It's a personification type thing. When he or fear told you you're not good enough, he told you you're not right. When he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight. When he told you you're not worthy. When he told you you're not loved. When he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Fear, he is a liar. He'll take your breath, stopping your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He'll rob your rest, steal your happiness. So cast your fear in the fire, because fear, he is a liar. You know, the truth breaks through there a little bit. When he told you you were troubled, you'll forever be alone. When he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty and you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Fear is a liar. Don't believe these voices, these messages they come through, because, hey, God just stands there in truth, and his perfect love will drive out fear. But again, the enemy can plant this in someone's mind. And all of a sudden, they think they're not worthy, they're not good enough, you know, they're living in shame and all these things. Yeah, and all of a sudden, their whole attitude is hijacked, and the demeanor and everything changes. But if you look at the opposite of that, but God says, you are good enough, you are strong enough, you are worthy, because he has made you worthy, right? We cannot be worthy on our own. We can never be good enough on our own, but Jesus paid the price for us. Instead of saying you're not loved, yeah, you are loved. You are loved. Just feel that Jesus hug where he's just wrapping his arms around you, squeezing you tight, telling you, I've got this. You are good enough. You are loved. You are worthy. Yeah, that's starting to build you up now, right? He said, you're not beautiful. No, you are beautiful, and you are enough. You will never be alone instead of forever be alone. And you'll never find a home. Guess what? He has prepared a place for you, if you're a believer. When he told you you were dirty and you should be ashamed, no, just the opposite. Again, that shame, fear, and guilt right here, we're hearing it again. No, he has made you clean when you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. He told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Is there anybody that God's grace cannot change? No. Okay, this is clearly a lie from the enemy, saying you're not good enough, you're not worthy, grace could never save you. So yeah, don't listen to those things. Instead, listen to God and what he tells you, what he says you, who he says you are. Break free of that fear, because perfect love casts out fear. And who has perfect love? God, right? And it can dispel the fear, it can cast it out, it can cancel it, it's just gone. So yeah, people can be controlled by fear. Also, whole nations. If a nation is conquered by another nation, they can come in and govern out of fear. They can set up martial law and they can just clamp down. Or else they can come in with foreign aid, they can come in with handouts, they can come in with help. Yeah, opposites, right? Both can be used to take over a nation. But fear, again, the people aren't going to trust you. Whereas if you come in to help them, to show them a better way, you build a relationship out of love, how much better is that? So yeah, control individuals, control a country. Fear, even if not used directly to control the country, can be used, you know, propagated through the media, or you can create fear around something like a disease or something like that, and the fear is worse than the actual disease many times. Again, fear being used. Fear is also a negative, it tells us here, or John writes, because fear has to do with punishment. Again, that dog that's raised in fear, it's in fear of being punished. That's why it's cowering instead of the tail wagging and happy. God does not deal in punishment, although we can choose it, right? If so, God does not send people to hell, they choose to go there. I mean, we're all destined there, but he provides a way out, an escape, and we can take that. So the punishment is not really from God, but it can result from our own choices is the deal there with eternity. Fear can be found in other religions. There are religions out there where you have to sacrifice this idol or else, right? Again, a consequence, a punishment. That's not our God. It's not an or else with him. It's a love. And that's the kind of God I want to serve. Not one where I'm in fear. But sometimes Christianity is put across that way. Unfortunately, there are those that think out there that, well, and again, I guess some people have preached it too, that, you know, obey God or else you're going to hell and we can bring in the fire and the brimstone and the eternal consequences and dwell on all the negatives. Could preach that way. I prefer not to. Maybe I should try it sometime just for fun. No. But you've seen the stereotypical maybe movie preacher or something who's just up there. And how are people responding? They're responding out of fear of hell. That's why they're following God. Out of fear rather than out of love. That's not what God wants. He wants us to respond voluntarily out of love, right? Not out of fear. Again, coming back to raising that puppy. Our God wants us to choose him of our own free will. He gave us free will so that we can choose him, or else we can choose to walk away. It's a choice. We all have. I know what I've chosen. You know, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, right? Unfortunately, some people don't see the reality of that. Maybe real life has to teach them a few lessons or something, but hopefully just pray that the Holy Spirit can be awakened within them and convict them and turn them to Jesus, to salvation. And again, out of love, not out of fear. We don't turn to him out of fear of going to hell or something like that, but out of love, because love is stronger than fear. John writes, perfect love casts out fear. Yeah, fear, he said, it's a liar. Sort of a shadow weapon, as we'll see later on. And love is stronger than fear. It totally pushes it out. It's sort of like light overcoming darkness, right? It's a dark room, you light up your lighter or up a match or something like that, the darkness recedes. It cannot exist where there's light. Same thing with love and fear. Love is of God, fear is of the enemy. And his perfect love drives out fear. If you're feeling fear and you experience his perfect love, it's going to just push that right out of you. You have nothing to fear with God. He is there with you. He is there for you, or at least he wants to be, if we'll turn to him, if we'll give our lives to him, if we'll trust in him. His love will change us to become much better than we could even imagine. He'll use us for purposes, for different things. So there's a lot of good things in God's love being stronger than fear. A lot of things with that. But fear, as I was thinking about, also has a purpose too. Now, there's the good kind of fear, the instinctive fear. If you're walking on the edge of a cliff or something like that, you might feel a little uneasy. That's good to have that fear, right? If you didn't have that, you might just fall off of there. Or grizzly bears, you know, you don't just walk up to them and try to pet them or something like that. You feel this instinct, this fear, and that is a self-preservation fear. That's a good kind of fear. But again, the enemy can take the fear and really capitalize on it. There is yet a third kind of fear that we heard about in Psalms, the fear of the Lord. And that's a pretty cool thing too. So let's just turn to Psalms here. Psalm 34, we opened up singing it, and then we got to hear Dalen read it. And it starts out talking about fear in the sense that we've been mentioning. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. That's pretty cool, okay? You seek him out, and you'll find him. He'll answer you. And he delivered me from all my fears. All right. Not just some fears. It says all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. His perfect love drives out the fear. To be delivered is to be set free. So he's set free from fear. Those who look on him are radiant. Their faces will never be covered with shame. Again, fear and shame and guilt, they're just intertwined there. Those three weapons of the enemy. So their faces are never covered with shame. If you look to him, instead you'll be radiant, you'll be beaming. And I like that when you see people smile. That's just a cool deal, isn't it? When they just got that beaming smile and when it's a genuine smile, a genuine one, that just brings cheer and that brings warmth, that brings joy, that brings love. You know, that's of God. I mean, thank God that you made smiles. Good job, Lord. I never thought of that before, but yeah, thanks. If you've been around people that frown all the time or something like that, I'd rather be around the smiling people. But if they don't have a smile, give them one of yours, as they say. Yeah, it's just really cool. Okay, this poor man called, the Lord heard him. Again, God hears us. And saved him out of all his troubles. It's emphasizing that. And then the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. To have the angel of the Lord encamping around you, that's going to be a hedge of protection there. That's going to keep out the fear. That's going to keep out the evil. That's going to keep out the thoughts. Because it enters into our mind many times. The temptations start as a thought. You think, ooh, you know. Next thing you know, you're dwelling on it, you're thinking even more, and pretty soon that thought can give way to action. And we have to be wary of that. Keep your mind, protect your mind. Don't let those things enter into it, those thoughts that lead to temptations. Because the enemy is going to grab that, and he's going to make you dwell on that thought, and he's going to work in your mind, and pretty soon that temptation to come to fruition if you're not careful. Surround yourself with good people that aren't going to help lead you into sin. That old saying, you are what you eat, there's truth in that, but also not only what you consume, you know, through your throat and into your stomach, but the things that you look at, the movies you watch, the websites you visit, things like that. Yeah, it can lead to things, so you got to be careful. You are what you consume. What you bring in is going to become you, right? So dwell on good things. But the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And here's a different kind of fear. This is the fear of the Lord, which is a good thing. You see it all through Psalms. You see it all through Proverbs. And it is a reverence. It is a respect. It is an awe of the Lord. So fear here is not a shaking. It's not a trembling. It's not an evil thing. It's a very profound and deep respect and reverence for God. Putting him first on our priority list. Holding him as holy. Holding his name as holy. Following him as holy. This is the deal here. And to fear the Lord, to put him first like that, and to serve him and to walk in his ways, again, willingly and out of love, good things are going to happen. The angel of the Lord encamps around you. Those who fear him lack nothing. Verse 9. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Teach you to fear the Lord, to respect the Lord, to hold him in reverence and in awe. Elsewhere, it tells us in Scripture that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is a very, very good thing. The Jews of old, they held wisdom in very high regard. If you read through Proverbs there, wisdom is something to be sought, it is something to be followed, it is something to honor and respect. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Just putting God first, that's going to lead to wisdom. That's going to lead to a clear understanding. And that's a good thing. So God will change us. Change you from fear into the ways of love. And having that respect for him is going to be the key. Putting him first in what you say, what you do, and what you think. Finally, in the gospel today, Jesus talks about fear as well. A number of times in the Bible it says, do not fear. And this reading started out in verse 26, so do not be afraid of them. Of whom? Well, if we go back, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher. We want to be like Jesus. He is our teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, a name for the devil or Satan, how much more the members of his household, so do not be afraid of them. People that follow the evil ways, they will become more like him, of course. We follow Jesus, we become more like him. But do not be afraid. I like that reminder there. And in 28, it picks up again, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one, or God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Yeah, the enemy can use fear as a weapon. But it's ultimately a shadow weapon. It has no substance. You're not going to die from fear. Fear is not going to cut you and make you bleed. Fear is not going to put holes through you. Fear is a thought that can control you. The fear as a shadow weapon, I like that too, because many times the shadow can be so much bigger than the object that caused it. You can have some small object in front of a light, but it casts this big shadow. It can cast a lot of fear, but that little object actually is not that big. The fear can be very, very big. Again, can control people. Another thing I like about that example that came up as we were talking about Tuesday morning is when there's a shadow, it means that there's something between you and the light. Yeah. If you're in shadow, there's something between you and the light. Think of God as the light. Something gets between you and God. You're dwelling in shadow. The bigger that thing is between you and God, the more shadow you're dwelling in. And sometimes it can be a little thing which casts a big shadow. Remove that. Get it out of there. Whatever is causing you to live in shadow, whatever is coming between you and God, remove it. Or pray that God would remove it. Or maybe even just step to the side so you're no longer in that shadow, where you can live in God's light. You can be in connection with him. And also, I guess the closer you are to him, the less chance of something shadowing, and the brighter the light, right? The closer you are, the brighter the light. So living close to God and living in that light. No shadows. The enemy will use fear. But as Jesus says here, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but not kill the soul. What are they going to do? The worst they can do is kill you. Okay, that's it. For a Christian, is that so bad? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Yeah. So absolutely, for those that have been martyred, who have given their lives for the faith, they have had incredible gain. And we know that persecution is going to increase. You read through, you know, what's going to happen as we progress further into the end times. There is going to be persecution against Christians. Absolutely. There's going to be fear that tries to rule us. Absolutely. Tuesday morning, Tim was sharing about the Romans and their frustration in trying to control the Christians with fear. The Romans conquered vast amounts of territory, many people groups, many cultures and nations, and they come in and they rule by fear. But the Christians, it didn't work that way. The fear did not work because they're following a God. the one true God. And they're living without fear because they know that their future is secure no matter what. If they're thrown in the lions, well, their future, their eternal future is secure. And that's the important part. So yeah, living in Christ, you don't have to live in fear. Fear, it's out there. It's a tool. It's a weapon of the enemy, ultimately a shadow weapon. And it's going to increase as, you know, the evil one takes more and more control of the world as we progress through the end times. Read all about it in there. But I would tell you to refuse to live in fear. Refuse to live in fear. When people try to control you out of fear, when they try to make something big out of fear, it's a shadow weapon. As Christians, we don't have to fear. Refuse to live in fear. Amen.